You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, well, Romans 12, we pick up in verse 6, we read through 8. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Here's a key, let us use them. Again, I've pointed out before, every Christian has a gift of the Holy Spirit that's found here in Romans chapter 12. So now the encouragement to all of us is to use the gifts that we have. Don't just sit on them. Don't waste what God has given to you. He's given it to you for the edification of the body. That's the purpose. So that all of us can benefit from the gift that each and every one of us has been given. It says first, if prophecy, let us prophesy. If you missed the teaching on prophecy, that's simply the proclamation of God's word. It's not like what the Mormon church teaches, right? God's not giving new revelation. He has the entire revelation that's right here. So it's one who boldly declares the word of God. Going on from there, it says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or as we pointed out, the faith as a possibility, that when you speak on behalf of God, you have the guardrails of the faith that are up. So you can't just say, thus saith the Lord, he spoke to me in a dream last night. It has to line up with the pages of scripture, because those who don't, they find themselves in very, very weird places, which is why people, I think, shy away from the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because so much weirdness has gone on the, in the name of Christ or in the name of the Spirit. Verse 7 goes on, it says, or ministry, which is the gift of service or the gift of helps, the very practical gift that looks to the needs of the body and wants to set everybody else up for the opportunity for them to use their gifts. So the things that nobody else wants to do, the person who has the gift of ministry looks for those opportunities to serve in that way. They're the people that are looking to take trash out. They're the people that are looking to fill any need. You'll know if you have the gift if you walk up to the pastor when you're looking to serve at the church and you go, I'm willing to do whatever the church needs. That would be an example of someone who has that gift. It says, let us use it in our ministry. Now, I love this. And he who teaches in teaching. Great. All right. Verse 8. And he who exhorts in exhortation. So those are our two tonight. It goes on. And he who gives with liberality. And he who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. If you've missed our study, we're answering 5 questions about each gift. The 5 questions are going to be the same for each of the gifts. The first one is, what is this gift? So tonight, what is the gift of teaching? Then, what is the gift of exhortation? Second, how is one to use this gift, teaching and exhortation? Third, what are some potential struggles for the person who has this gift? Fourth, and more refreshingly, what are some potential strengths for the person who has this gift? Fifthly, and finally, what are some biblical examples of this gift? So we start off with the gift of teaching. What is the gift of teaching? Like I said, I think the gift of teaching probably has the least amount of confusion surrounding it. I think if we took a poll and we asked everybody in the church, what is the gift of teaching? Most everybody would say something along the lines of someone who is gifted with being able to explain the word of God. And that is essentially what the gift of teaching is. If you like my official definition, I wrote this down. The gift of teaching is the ability to communicate the truths of the word of God. The ability to communicate the truths of the word of God. Some people can just say the word, but being able to communicate the truth, the meaning, the context behind the word of God, which I just stole some of my thunder, because the gift of teaching analyzes and proclaims the word of God in 3 different ways. First, by looking at the context. If you're ever doing a Bible study, a key to studying the Bible is looking at the context in which the verse are set in. And we'll talk about people who avoid this as we look at the gift of exhortation. a potential struggle of someone who has that gift will be to rip verses out of context. The teacher goes, no. Look at the entire context that's written in, and it will give you a greater understanding of what the author is saying. So the context will then lead to the meaning. The gift of teaching always is looking to the meaning of the text, wanting to know the true heart behind what was being said, not trying to find their own understanding, but trying to find the understanding that God originally ordained the author to write. It's trying to get the heart, the meaning of the text, and the context is so important, so crucial to finding the meaning. Now, I'll add, I think a good teacher will also look for application. Sometimes we can get lost in just studying and not really applying it. The Word of God is for our application. So a good teacher is one who will look at the context, will look at the meaning, and then will look for the application. So just some random things to finish up on the gift of teaching before we answer the second question. The gift of teaching doesn't focus on entertainment. Okay. Sometimes you can look at entertainment and go, oh, this guy's so entertaining, he must have the gift of teaching. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying a teacher ought not to be entertaining. That's not my point. I'm not saying a teacher ought not to be funny. I'm not saying a teacher ought not to have personality. Your personality should come out. If you have a lively personality, it should be very lively. A common problem with the person who has the gift of teaching is they try to mimic other teachers. There's people who they really respect, and so then they get up there. They're given this wonderful personality. I know a guy like this. He's got this incredible personality, but he really loves this dry teacher. So he's like, hey, guys, welcome to church. Good to see you. Here are the announcements. Now time for the word. I'm like, why? Like, that's not you. Like, be you, right? But the gift of teaching is not specifically the gift of entertainment. That's not a spiritual gift, right? You can be as dry as a piece of bread and still be an incredible teacher, right? It's not a matter of entertaining people. It's a matter of educating and teaching people. The gift of teaching doesn't focus on the gift possessor. It focuses rather on the gift giver, right? It's so easy to look at the teacher and to glorify the teacher. They're the ones standing up. They're the ones who are you know, teaching you. They're the ones that you feel like you owe something to, and you can focus on the teacher. Oh, that guy gets it. If everyone would just teach like this person, but a really good teacher will always get the eyes off of them and point them back to Christ. Not only that, but the gift of teaching isn't to teach the opinion of man. Rather, it's to teach the Word of God. So if someone can explain to you the opinion of man really well, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have the spiritual gift of teaching, right? And that's also the reason why we'll never have a sermon series on the opinion of man. Like, I'm never going to say, okay, this week we're going to look at how J-Lo says to be happy, right? So here we go. We're not going to take the opinion of a person and focus on that. I thought that would be funnier than it was. As I said it, I regretted it. It just wasn't very good. I'm like, J-Lo, it's kind of old anyways. Doesn't really apply. Anyways. The question is, why is the gift of teaching important then? As you look at each of these gifts, each one of them are very important. Why is the gift of teaching important? Well, very succinctly, the gift of teaching is very important because it nourishes the body. That's why. It's just because it allows us to be able to eat. A strong body is one that has been taught very well. I went down when the church just got started to Calvary Chapel Vero Beach. I'll probably use Jim a lot in my teaching tonight. But I went there. Our church was, super tiny. Like, we're small, but we were, like, super tiny at the time. Like, nobody was coming to church. This would have been, like, the craziest Sunday attendance ever if we had this many people there. I would have been, like, calling everybody, telling them we're the next big thing. I'm telling you. Like, their church had 5 to 6, 7 people, whatever. And I just met Jim. He let me come and teach. And I go down there, and it's just filled with love. All these people are being awesome. People are being so encouraging. As I teach the word, people have notes, and they're taking. I'm like, are you kidding? It was incredible. And I go, Jim, your church is amazing. And it wasn't so much a compliment. It was like envy. I'm like, your church is great. I mean, it was more like that, right? Like, and he ended up saying to me, he's like, listen, that is years of me and others faithfully teaching the Word of God. And I was like, man, you're right. It's cultivated, right? Because the Word of God doesn't focus on the person. The Word of God focuses on the Lord, and it nourishes the people, hopefully strengthening them to be very strong Christians. All right, second question. How is one to use the gift of teaching? Well, according to Paul, in teaching. That's all that he tells us. That's how you use it. You use it in teaching. So two ideas. One idea is almost as if Paul's just saying, go for it. If you have the gift of teaching, you need to use it. You need to apply it. Just try it, in other words. If you think you have the gift of teaching, I would like to encourage you to teach as often as you can. That doesn't mean, what I'm not saying, is that means to come and teach for me as often as you can. For some reason, that's what people think. They go, oh, if I have the gift of teaching, I have to teach for the pastor. No, hopefully everyone who teaches has the gift of teaching, but it's not just here. There are plenty of contexts that you can use your gift. If you have the gift of teaching, though, you're going to know that you have it because you want to always give what you are getting from the Lord. So God speaks to you in your quiet time. Go give it to somebody. Tell somebody how the Lord's speaking to you. The Lord speaks to you through a teaching as quickly as you can. Gather people around. Talk to them about it. Take opportunities to teach. I didn't know if I had the gift of teaching. I was very young. My dad was running the kids ministry at Calvary Tucson, where I'm originally from. And I was, I don't remember, 14 or 15. And a teacher didn't show up. It was the fourth graders. And my dad's like, hey, can you teach the fourth graders? I was like, nope. He's like, all right, let me rephrase that. You're teaching the fourth graders. I'm like, great. Like, so like, I go into class and I'm like sweating bullets. Like, hey guys, like I was so nervous to teach these fourth graders because in my mind, they were like what a lot of people view high school and college students. I'm like, what are you going to teach me? Right? And not at all how they were. They're all, hey, like they're so exciting. It was wonderful. After that time, I told my dad, I was like, I always want to teach that class. Like those kids were great. They wanted to learn. They were awesome. They had enough knowledge. Like our intellects were on the same level because I was 15, right? Like it was awesome. So I'm telling you, I taught these kids for 2 years. 2 years. I taught. I loved it. That's where I realized I love this. I have the gift of teaching. Never did I walk up to the pastor and go, all right, it's my turn. I've been doing fourth grade now for a year and a half, so I think I'm ready. Like, I was using my gift. I didn't look, I didn't have any envy of anybody else because I was using the gift that I have. As we use the gifts that God has given to us, you find envy doesn't find itself anywhere around because you're using the gift for the edification of the body as a whole. You were using it for everybody. All right, another idea behind these two words, this in teaching, how do you teach? In teaching, is what the New Living says when it says, if you are a teacher, teach well. I love that. I don't know exactly if that's what Paul was saying or not, but if he was, man, what great application. If you're a teacher, don't mail it in. Don't go, oh, well, I mean, I'm teaching kids. The kids don't know anything anyways. Like, I'm just going to go for it. Like, I don't need to study that. Teach well. No matter who you teach, teach well. I don't think that the Spirit honors laziness. And we know that the most effective Christian is the one who is filled with the Spirit using the gift that God has given to them. I don't think if we're just being lazy, the Spirit's going to honor that. Oh, when I get up there, then things are going to really start going because the Spirit will anoint me then. Sometimes I think teachers will look at how the Lord has used them in the past and go, oh, okay, well, God's just going to do that again. There's our effort, too, that we have to put in. You have to put in time of study. You have to put in time of preparation. This was a struggle for me, especially when I was telling you the church just got started. Our Wednesday nights, I mean, one Wednesday night, there was three people in attendance, and I picked all three of them up. I'm not even kidding. Like, they were all junior hires, and one of them was our worship leader in junior high, leading adults, and then the other one was the cajon player, and then the other one was the guy doing slides. That was it. That's the only people who came, Charlie, Bryce, and Nick, and I picked them all up and brought them to church. I'm telling you, in those days, it was difficult to study all day. All day. And like, who's going to show up? These three guys. Like, that's it. It's just the slides kid, the music kid, and then the other music kid. Like, that's it. Like, why am I putting all this work in? It's because I'm called to teach. It doesn't matter if it's in front of 3,000 or in front of three. If you're called to teach, put in the effort. Teach as well as you possibly can. In this, a teacher will learn, which I think is very crucial. We'll talk about this in a little bit, to be faithful. To be faithful. It's a key with the gift of teaching. Not only that, but a teacher must live their life in preparation, must be ready in season and out of season. That no matter what, looking for the opportunity to communicate the truths of the Word of God to those that they're interacting with. This was very clear to me when I did my first mission trip to Africa. I had the privilege again of going with Pastor Jim down in Calvary Vero Beach, and I didn't know him very well. we were there, the team was there, and he was doing a conference in South Africa, and then he flies up to Ghana, and he shows up. And where the week was split up into a week of like classroom settings with pastors, and then we had a full like 450 Ghanaian and Nigerian and some other nations around there, pastors conference. It was awesome. So Jim just shows up, and he's like, all right, guys, where are we at in the schedule? And his assistant pastor goes, well, you're up next. And he's like, oh, great. Sorry, I just thought of a stupid joke. I said, you're up next? He's like, you're up? We're in Africa. sorry, okay, that wasn't there. He could have said it would have been great. But they go, Jim, you are the person teaching next. and he goes, okay, well, when is my time? And he's like, well, you teach in 15 minutes and you teach on Acts 15. And he's like, okay, great. And he goes and he stands over there. I'm like, if that happened to me, if I show up and they go, you're on in 15 minutes and you're teaching this text, I'd be like, I'm not teaching. Like, there's not a chance that I'm going to teach that text in 15 minutes. Jim goes and stands over in the corner. He's reading the text, and he gets up. And I'm not kidding. In that week, that was the best teaching that was given. It was incredible. And I walked up to him. I think it came across as an insult. Because I walked up to him, and I go, Pastor Jim, I cannot believe that you just did that study without even, that you just gave that teaching without even studying. And to me, it was a compliment. To him, he looked at me, and he's like, I've been studying my entire life for that study. I was like, I'm going to tuck my tail between my legs. I'm going to go stand right over there for a while. Like, I'm just not going to say anything else the rest of the trip. But the point of what he was saying was when you're a teacher, you're living life in preparation. He had been studying the Word of God consistently to be able to teach. And he taught so well that text. Why? Because he studied that text before. Because he's taught through that text before. Because he's looked for opportunities to teach the Word of God whenever possible. So if you have the gift of teaching, number one, be faithful. Be faithful, right? Be faithful to teach your children. Be faithful to teach your friends. Be faithful to teach at your church. Be faithful to teach any opportunity that you are given, whether it's one or 1,000, it does not matter. Be faithful. So third of all, what are some of the potential struggles for the person who has the gift of teaching? Number one, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. I've seen it over and over and over again. Not living what you preach. It's so tempting. Because it's so easy to come across in front of everybody when you're standing up here as if you're just living life right. That guy's got it. I mean, man, he really loves the Lord. Look at him. He's always teaching the Word of God. What a great guy. It's so easy to go, I'm content with everybody thinking that I am who I present to them from the pulpit. What a danger to live a life of hypocrisy. The pastor is called, the teacher is called to live the same thing that they are teaching to the congregation or to their classroom or to their children, wherever the context would be. Hypocrisy is a great temptation. And hopefully the pastor is in a place where people know them well enough to where they couldn't fly with hypocrisy. Second, and this is as common of a struggle, pride. Pride. This is definitely a struggle if you have a thriving ministry, because so many people are coming, so many people are interested in what you have to say. It's all about you. It can be, right? And you can see how easy it would be for someone just to so quickly slip into pride. You look at the parking lot before church and you go, man, look at all of these cars. You go into the sanctuary, look at all of these people. It's easy to slip into pride. Maybe it's not because of the numbers. Maybe it's just the fact that somebody wants your opinion. So as you're counseling someone, as you're teaching one-on-one, as you're teaching two people, as you're teaching a small classroom, you go, they all want to know what I have to say. Can you see how easy pride can slip in? The pastor, the teacher must be on guard against hypocrisy as well as pride. But then there's also a third, and it's almost the exact opposite, right? And that is despair. Despair. If someone isn't struggling with pride, most likely the struggle they'll have is that of despair. Never feeling as if they handled the Word of God well enough. Man, I tried, I taught, and it was just terrible. Nobody got anything out of that, right? Or they're teaching people, they're educating people on what the Word of God says, and then those people are not applying what they just taught them, and then they go, great, it must be me. It's my fault. I'm not teaching with enough authority. They don't respect me enough to listen. And you can go into this deep pit of despair. Very tempting place to go. very easy to want to quit. I'll be completely transparent with you. I'm not saying I don't struggle with pride. That's not all in this. My point. My point is I do struggle with this. There has been a handful of times where in the middle of a Sunday morning study, where the room is way more full, I'm like going for it, and I'm just like, this is terrible. And I'm not even kidding. There have been times I've almost just walked off. I've almost done it. Like, just like, this is so bad. Why is anybody here? And can you just see the enemy? Like, after that happens, I'll go and we're worshiping the last psalm. Just like, and I'll lean over to Betsy. And Betsy's sitting there. She's just worshiping the Lord freely. She's having the time of her life with her God. And I'm like, Betsy, stop worshiping and listen to me complain for a second. Right? Just, I'm like, that was the worst teaching anyone has ever given anywhere ever. Right? And she's like, no, it wasn't. Like, yes, it was. I just like, it's just so frustrating, right? And then I'm standing at the door faking it. Hey, everybody, thanks for coming. Good to see you. And 5 to 10 people walk up and go, Pastor, I was so spoken to in that message. I can't even tell you. It was so profound. The Lord's voice was so clear. I'm like, were you listening to somebody else while I was here? Like, do you have headphones? Like, are you listening to a different study? Like, what is going on? It's so easy. Both pride and despair, what happens? The focus is on you. And again, the good teacher gets the focus on Christ. A good teacher gets up there and says, you know what? I gave it my best. I put as much effort as I could into that. And the Lord, I'm just trusting you. I'm trusting you to educate, to teach, and to speak to your people. And that's it. And if it was the worst study ever given, well, then it was the worst study ever given. Like, these people are great. I just taught them the word of God. All right, the fourth question that we have to ask is, what are some potential strengths? So those are the weaknesses. What are some of the strengths? Well, very obviously, I think a strength would be that of wisdom, right? If a teacher is constantly handling, constantly studying, constantly teaching the word of God, you would think that wisdom would naturally follow that. So a great strength of a teacher could be that they are people of great wisdom. Number two, that they could be people who have great confidence in the Lord. Not in themselves, but in the Lord. Why? Because that scenario I just told you about. After 1,000 times of thinking you did the worst and having people tell you how wonderful the Lord spoke to them, how great the message was and how it hit them so hard at home, you just go, Lord, it's not me. Like, for me to ever think that was me is crazy. I now trust, this is what the teacher could say, I now trust it's just the Lord. I have all my confidence in him. I'm going to study, I'm going to prepare, I'm going to deliver the message. My confidence is in the Lord and not in me. After time and time again of this happening, you can imagine the teacher, their confidence grows in the Lord. And then it goes beyond teaching, doesn't it? You go, listen, if God can speak to people through me, there's nothing he can't do. Like, he can do anything. So somebody has a financial crisis, you go, it's okay. Like, God has spoken to people through me before, so your money issue is not a big deal. Like, he's going to totally be able to handle it. Like, whatever the scenario is, like, you just have great confidence in the Lord because you've seen him move time and time again. Another potential strength for the teacher is faithfulness. You have to learn it when you teach. No matter if you're teaching the masses or you're teaching a very small amount of people, you have to learn faithfulness. Faithfulness to the text, faithfulness to the word of God, faithfulness to study. It's a very, very common trait. This happens when a teacher understands that the opportunity that they're given is an honor. Whether they're teaching at a pastor's conference that has 2,000 people, or whether they're teaching at Bible story time with little kids or in the Sunday school classroom, they understand both of these are an honor. Both of these are an honor. And so then faithfulness naturally is developed because of it. And then fourthly, and I'll just say this in passing because we're running out of time, a fourth strength is a shepherd's heart. A shepherd's heart. As one teaches the word of God, whether it's a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a parent, whatever it be, you develop that shepherd's heart. As you see the flock being fed, as you see people who love the Lord being fed, being strengthened, being nourished by the word of God, you develop a protective care for them, wanting them to go to the word of God for their nourishment and for their strength. All right, that's the gift of teaching. How are we going to get to the exhortation? We have the fifth question to answer. Sorry. What are some biblical examples of the gift of teaching? Number one is in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is the Great Commission. Listen to what Jesus says. It says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now notice verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What a great example of the gift of teaching. Jesus commands his disciples to go out to baptize. And we all remember that. Like, yeah, go out, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then to teach. To teach what? What Jesus commanded. That is the purpose of teaching, to go through the words of God. That is the point. And so he commissions his disciples to do it. That's one example. But as I've told you before, the greatest example of all of the gifts of the Spirit is Jesus, right? So how did Jesus demonstrate the gift of teaching? His entire ministry he did. Like, I mean, just read anywhere in the Gospels, you find the gift of teaching. Jesus taught through parables. He used stories. He used stories that would relate to people, right? The parable of the sower. He's speaking to people who are agricultural people, right? They understand all of the examples that he's giving. Maybe not the parable of the sower, the parable of the talents, right? People can understand the currency, that there's an owner who gives you a certain amount, and people can double that or people can sit on that. There are great examples there. How about just the Sermon on the Mount? The greatest teaching ever given. Jesus constantly demonstrated the gift of teaching. And I believe that he is still demonstrating the gift of teaching through his Holy Spirit and through those who have the gift of teaching. All right, here's the deal. I have all five questions on the gift of exhortation written out. And we have 3 minutes to finish. So there's not much of a chance for that. So I'm going to do something just totally different. I'm just going to give you guys a chance if anyone has a question about particularly the gift of teaching. But if not just the gift of teaching, maybe a gift of any of these gifts here, feel free to ask. We can answer a couple questions. I know I'm putting you guys on the spot. That's why I'm rambling a little bit here to get your minds that second to think. But all I'd ask is that this isn't stump the pastor time. This would be, I honestly have a question about this. So I'd ask you just to raise your hand and ask it. Give it 20, 30 seconds. No one does. Then we'll pray. Kelly. It's so good. I had that in my notes. And I was like, I can't teach any of this because I'm not going to have enough time. Thank you. The question was, what is the difference between the gift of teaching and being a preacher? So some people will say I'm a preacher, right? You'll hear them say that. Or some people say, I'm a teacher. Others will say, I'm preaching. Others will say, I'm teaching. And we go, oh, they must just be synonymous. Well, sometimes people do use them synonymously, but they're actually not synonymous. Preaching would be more evangelistic, right? It's proclaiming God's word to people in general. So it's this great proclamation of God's word. There are some people who stand behind pulpits that are preachers. Billy Graham would have been a great example of a preacher. Man, did he deliver the evangelistic message to people. Greg Laurie is a preacher, right? But then there are teachers. Chuck Smith is a teacher. Charles Swindoll is a teacher. John Piper is a teacher. These guys who are taking the word of God, and they're breaking it down, and they are educating now the body. One, preaching would be more towards the world, although the church benefits, but it would be more towards the world. A lot of larger churches that we have in town, I would imagine, I mean, I don't know much about them, but imagine like an 1122 type church that has a lot of people coming that Joby would be gifted with preaching, right? There's a lot of people that are coming in who don't know the Lord, or at least are new believers, and he's preaching, he's giving the gospel. I would imagine in larger churches that would happen. Sometimes teaching also takes place. My church I came from was very unique because it was a huge church, largest church in town, but our pastor was a teacher. He was far from a preacher. So you have new believers coming in, and he's like, all right, here we go. We're in the book of Leviticus. And they're like, what is going on? And so I would say my gifting is in teaching. I've always felt very called to the church. My job as a pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what I do. Now, I'm not against preaching at all. I love it. But I just find that I'm not as gifted at it. And our church is smaller, so we have a lot of the same people coming over and over again. So if I'm always, you know, doing altar calls, you're like, we're all serving at the church. Like, we're all good. Like, you don't need to keep on giving the altar. We ain't leaving here until somebody raises their hand. Like, fine. Like, all right, good. You got that person saved again this week, right? Anyway, so a preacher is more proclaiming and a teacher is more explaining. If you wanted to put it down like that, you could say it that way. Great question, Kelly. Thank you. Any other questions? What do you do during awkward silence? That's a question. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody? Don't feel pressured. Yes, Kathy. Yeah, absolutely. The gift of exhortation, it comes from the Greek word paraclete, and that is to come alongside of. The Holy Spirit is also described with that word. So the gift of exhortation, foreshadowing, is when somebody is willing to come alongside of somebody else. That's key, coming alongside of and encouraging them towards the Lord, essentially, towards spiritual health, you could say. So the gift of exhortation is a great complementary gift. It's great with teaching because teaching is explaining, but then exhortation is now applying what was explained. So a lot of times they go hand in hand. It's a great gift with the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is extremely obviously compassionate. And so the person who has a gift of mercy, it's been said that they'll look at you and go, I understand how you feel. That's the gift of mercy. They are empathizing with you. They're listening. They're going, man, I get how you feel. I am so sorry for how you feel. I am so sorry for the situation you're in. Whereas the person with the gift of exhortation goes, I don't necessarily know how you feel, but I know how you should feel. And I'm going to come alongside of you, and I'm going to help you get to where you should be. Like that would be the difference there. Let's see. It's almost the opposite of the gift of helps in one sense. The gift of helps is very practical. It says if I can practically help meet the needs of the church, that will help them in their spiritual walk. Whereas the gift of exhortation comes alongside and goes, listen, I'm not necessarily interested in the practical. I'm interested in encouraging them spiritually, however that looks. So that rather than make a meal, they would rather sit down and discuss the word of God with somebody. Yeah, that's what I would say. That's just in a nutshell. I've got a lot more on it than that, but that's the highlight. So come back and you'll get that. All right, any other one? Great questions. Kelly, again.
So you will go into detail more about that.
I will. Later. I will. Yeah. I'm out of town next week, so I won't then. But because I'm teaching at that conference, I was just telling you. But after that, we will. Yes. Yeah, so the question was, can you have multiple gifts? I'm assuming yes, and if so, are some primary? Yes, definitely, you can have multiple gifts of the Spirit. The way I explained this in our introductory study, that the gifts of the Spirit in Romans are my opinion. This is all my opinion here. There are solid teachers who don't necessarily agree with this, and then plenty of solid teachers who do. So you have total freedom when it comes to analyzing these. But my opinion is the gifts of the Spirit in Romans 12 are gifts that every Christian will possess at least one of them, and oftentimes multiple gifts. Whereas as you look at the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians, those are the manifestation gifts. Those are more of the sign gifts, like the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, the gifts of healing, the gift of miracles, gift of faith, those gifts. My opinion on that is that those are manifestations. Those are not gifts that anyone can personally possess, that they are gifts that happen as a person is walking in the Spirit. That's something that you might experience. But I told you guys, I've only ever experienced one, and that was a word of knowledge once. I looked at a girl in our youth group, and I just knew her situation without knowing her at all. And I walked up to her, and I talked to her, and she started crying. It was her exact situation. It felt like the Lord told it to me. That's it. That's the only time. You hear stories of people who, in my opinion, might get way carried away with manifestations, and it's not the point. The point is to be living life in the Spirit, and we've noted the Spirit is not weird. And a lot of times people, there are plenty of churches out there, plenty of houses of God out there, that's tongue-in-cheek if you guys know, that are just weird, saying things like, oh, the Holy Spirit started manifesting himself with gold dust. And so I'm looking at my hands, I'm filled with gold dust now, and I'm like, Like, is it anywhere? Like, just show me a place where that happens. Another time, like, oh, the presence of God is in the form of a cloud, and he's right here in the corner of our sanctuary. No joke. I've seen this. Like, I mean, I haven't seen the presence of God in the form of a cloud. I've seen people teach this. And like, yeah, that's the presence of God. People are freaking out. They have their cameras out. They're taking pictures. I'm like, are we serious? Like, where is it? They go, oh, I'll tell you where it is. That's Exodus. I'm like, do you seriously think that that's exactly the same context of what we're living in now? Like, really? Where's your tabernacle at then? Like, come on, like, give me a break. So don't get carried away with it. I think that there are offices that are found in Ephesians, that there are gifts that are found here in Romans, and there are manifestations that take place. The problem is a lot of people gravitate towards the manifestations. They want to see so many of the manifestations that they forsake the gifts that God has actually given to them right here. And as you look at this list, you're like, yeah, I relate to at least one of these. It's because I believe that God has gifted you with that. Now, again, that's my personal opinion. That's my opinion I think is biblical, but you have freedom to disagree. It's totally fine. There are plenty of solid pastors who would disagree. I mean, one would be John MacArthur. He would totally disagree with that. He would say, nope, manifestation gifts, not a thing anymore. That was just for the first church, for the early church, and it's no longer for today. And I go, peace. Like, you're allowed to disagree with that. That's totally fine. Just, this is what I think. This is what I've seen, and it's my opinion. I think that it'd be biblical. Great question, though. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Well, now we've gone through our worship time, so I'm not even going to call Will back up. I'm just going to pray. You guys are great. Maybe we should do this every time. This is awesome. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your word, that it's alive and active, and that your people are curious. And Lord, I pray that you would be the one who answers our questions. God, thank you that you've given us your word as a guide. And Lord, I pray that this pulpit would always be promoting you and your word. But Lord, I pray that we would also all be students, that we would want to learn, and that we would want to know, that we would want to grow. So I pray that you would fill each of us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your word, that it's alive and that it's active. And Lord, I pray that your people would walk in the gifts that you've given to them. We love you, we praise you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Eric Souza. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Eric's teaching ministry by visiting www.reachjacks.com.